You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
To the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was Alicia's story, and of course, Pooh sang the pledge together. And it was a little discombobulated because that's the first time that it's been done. Alicia made a tape with her father playing the guitar of the Pledge of Allegiance and sent it to us, and so that she and Pooh could say the pledge together. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
Did you see the picture of Alicia?
Yeah.
Isn't she a beautiful little girl?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
See you later, alligator.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pick up where I left off last night and continue. I will read the last paragraph so that you'll have a little overlap. If even some freedom can be preserved, eventually its beneficiaries will want all freedom again. That very real possibility cannot be discounted or ignored. To predetermine the total death of freedom so that we can be comfortable now is totally irresponsible and would guarantee shackles for our children. It would destroy their hope, the hope that will motivate and inspire those who come after for generations to come. We cannot do that, and the responsibility rests in the hands of our generation. Our forefathers established this nation based upon the concept that the people would have to maintain an eternal vigilance. Our fathers let us down. We cannot let our children and our grandchildren down. True, there is no going back, and world government is eventually a certainty. It is the natural progression of the evolution of humanity that at some point we come together in a peaceful world. Of that there has never been any question. We always knew we could not stop it. The goals have been to delay its implementation until it could be organized with personal freedom at its core. Unfortunately, this has not happened, and at the present time is unlikely to happen. I have never felt that world government in and of itself, by itself, was inherently an evil thing. How could it be? Any more than the 13 original colonies coming together to form the United States was an evil thing. But it is undeniable that political and economic power concentrated in a small group of world coordinators would definitely be a disaster for freedom. So it seemed needful to do everything possible to protect what liberties were left in the hope of influencing these globalists toward a less bondage-oriented style of leadership. It was and is an absolutely incredible long shot, but it's the best shot. New World Order concepts, totally rotten. World religion appears to be evil. World enslavement, death is preferable. So if a world system is inevitable, the only questions that remain are, why do the promoters of world government demand that we all be slaves? Why the secrecy? Why the lies and the manipulation? And if their intent is not evil, why must they operate in these manners? If it's a good thing, why not let us all in on it? If it is a good thing, a freedom thing, a beneficial thing, wouldn't we all support it? And I believe that most people would support it today if they had not, upon a very basic and cursory investigation, found that most of the promoters of world government are indulging in the most blatant, obvious and outlandish lies that have ever been perpetrated against any peoples. So we know the answer to those questions, don't we? And so the struggle continues. The idea of the Constitution being restored is truly, ladies and gentlemen, a dream. One I have always been reluctant to release to hopelessness. But reality is a very strong medicine, and the fact still remains that you can achieve nothing from the grave unless you're some big-name martyr whose cause becomes a rallying cry among those who come after. Frankly, I find martyrdom a very poor substitute for education and diplomacy, and there just aren't too many people out there at this time who, even in death, could successfully motivate a rise in the understanding of the people. And no one knows that better than me, for I've been trying for many years to awaken the sheeple and create real people. It just will not happen. Thus we live on, and we do the best we can, day after endless day. You see, there are truths bigger than the individual seeking, and they are worth everything. When you take time to contemplate the future realities, it isn't pretty, no matter what happens. Most people have not thought this thing through far enough. They see the conflict and the possibility of giving their lives for their country. And I can assure you that's scary enough. And that may be why they don't think farther down the line. And most of them don't really believe it anyway, because they're not really getting ready. Perhaps they assume they will be killed. Now, that's a very dangerous thing to believe. We have to believe that we will live and carry on. Beyond that point, what will life be like? The only thing of which we can be certain is that it will not be what we have expected, and it will definitely not be a return to the good old days, whatever and whenever those were, and the future will be a continuous series of encounters with the unknown. That which is most anathematic to most people, that which they fear the most, is change. the unknown. Anything that disturbs the comfortable position which people have entrenched themselves within. So, in a turbulent time of not knowing, the solidity of principles has to serve as an anchor. And that's why I've urged you over and over again not to be loyal to concepts like my country right or wrong, our borders, our people, our locations, but to principles and ideals. Hitler's SS were loyal. My country, right or wrong. I hope you understand those concepts. You must be loyal to principles and ideals. They are not contained within borders or within boundaries or in the person of presidents or Congress people, nor in places like Washington, D.C. They exist in the minds and in the hearts of people. And people have to decide what those principles are and what they're going to do about them. And I'll say this again. A man or woman without principles for which they are ready and willing to die for at any given moment that they are called upon to do so are already dead and are of no use or consequence to anyone, not even themselves. You see, for the most part, most Americans in this century have been living in fantasy land. The people who have awakened are only a little bit less in fantasy land than those who never left Disneyland in their thinking. And the time has definitely come to strip away the rest of the candy-coated popcorn peanuts and a prize from the imagined future life. Every day that we can see things a little clearer than before is one more step toward being able to contribute something of worth and real significance. The time has come, ladies and gentlemen, for some super long-range planning, quietly, privately, without fanfare. The target date for the New World Order is the year 2000. How long do you think you can sit back and pretend that nothing is going on to wait for someone else to save you? The knight on a white horse in shining armor. We must exercise power where we still have it, and for the most part, that is at the state and local level. We must take strong stands on the issues which threaten individual freedoms and continue the support in those areas, especially Second Amendment guaranteed rights. And if you did your job in your city, in your county, and in your state, you would not have to worry about the national level. Of that I can assure you. And pay close attention to this. The citizens' resistance movement must be implemented, organized, and established while there is still time. Militias cannot operate. A guerrilla war cannot be waged without the support of a strong civilian resistance movement. We should plan meetings to address this issue and establish plans of action. Everyone, no matter how old they are, no matter what their physical condition, can participate in resistance. That time is here, and it is much easier to establish those things before you need them than to try to do it under duress, under an atmosphere of suspicion and fear. On the state and local level, we must start moving toward issues of greater visibility and publicity, discussion groups, newsletters, political activism on local level. Visible militias drilling in public. Public relations officers speaking to the press often and frequently and writing stories and submitting them for publication. Militia representatives speaking at public organizations, at universities, at colleges, at town hall meetings, at city council meetings, at county supervisor meetings, in the state house, at state fairs, to the Boy Scouts, to the Girl Scouts wherever you can muster an audience. All of these things should be organized and implemented without delay because there is no time left. We can take victories and turn them into major issues. There is no such thing as a small victory. And every exposed treason must become a matter of supreme controversy, for there are no small treasons. And every liberty which we can keep or regain must be extolled. Freedom must ring out across the land. There are no insignificant or expendable freedoms. The human race has spent its entire existence to reach the point culminating in the formation of this great nation. Our tactics may have to undergo some revisions for the present moment, but it is with a view to a greater good, the preservation of liberty beyond the years of our own lives. It will be very wise to think farther down the line, to sift away the chaff, to clean up the ranks, and to prepare for something different than we may at first have anticipated. If you are associated with racists, bigots, or reactionaries of any kind, have no further company with them. Period. Patriots and militia units cannot be seen or perceived as radical. They cannot be perceived as racist, as bigots, as reactionaries, or as terrorists, and they must stay as close to a moderate line as is humanly possible under the circumstances. If you are constantly being caught up in controversies over little overall importance, and you run yourself ragged in matters of little or no profit to our future, reconsider how your energies are spent and reprioritize your time. Disconnect from patriot information networks where you have experienced mostly disinformation, lies, and outright total deception. And that is most of those networks, I can assure you, save a small percentage that, for the most part, refrain from that type of behavior. And you all know who these networks are and where these things originate from. Be aware that at this very moment, a massive infiltration movement is underway in every state of the Union. The ambition is the destruction of the militias from within. Do not ever discuss militia matters outside of your group or to new members until they have proven themselves. And every militia organization must have a method of investigating the background the politics and the sincerity of every single new member that is recruited within your group. And you must restrain yourselves from extreme methods. If you have some big mouths in your group, people who cannot keep their mouths shut, or troublemakers, or people who cannot follow orders, get rid of them now, before they can cause you trouble, which can result in the destruction of your organization. If you have leaders whose information to you has been questionable, who promote rumors, who even unintentionally put the militia at risk by causing mad scrambles and panic, disassociate yourselves without delay and reform as a new unit. If you do not have level-headed, reasonable, good, dependable leaders, then you do not have a militia organization. You have a potential disaster. You can still function as a militia in your area. The smaller and more compact the group, the greater our safety and survival, and the better you can maneuver and function if and when the time ever calls for that to happen. We can do more good when we can trust the people in our group than we can if we find ourselves constantly questioning somebody's motives or sources of information. One of the biggest complaints of new members of the intelligence service is that they spend months, and in some cases even as long as a year, before they are actually utilized to any potential while they are being completely investigated and tested. There will be hard decisions. Not everyone will decide to stay in the militia, and not everyone will decide to remain under their present command. That is not a problem. The ranks must be sifted. The reactionaries, those who do not obey orders, and those who are uncooperative, and those whose actions or motives have been questionable, must be removed, or you must remove yourself from them. It is far better to make the most of the good people you have than to set yourselves up to be destroyed by the sheer weight of numbers, especially when some of that number are not really on our side. And the test of the successfulness of a good militia group is not in how many members make up that group, but by how well and how silently they operate to realize our ends, and that is the preservation of freedom and liberty. Not to stroke egos, not to play with guns, but to prepare ourselves and be effective should we have to go to war to maintain our freedoms. The time of second chances, ladies and gentlemen, is over. This is it. I'm telling you now, this is it. This is the moment of truth. And you must think about these things and do some homework, for you must make decisions now. In 4 years, we reach the target date for the completed formation of the New World Order. As I have informed you previously, I do not believe that date is any longer viable because of the resistance which it has met. But nevertheless, between now and the year 2000, things will get very bleak indeed. Prove to yourself that the matters I have set before you are true, and then prayerfully consider what action, if any, you will choose to take. No one is going to think badly of anyone who leaves, and no one is going to pressure anyone else to stay if they want out. And no one should, under any circumstances, do those things. Because the people that we have left, we want to be tried and true, devoted to the cause of liberty and freedom, and justice for all peoples. It is true that this is an unhappy moment for us all, but our survival and the survival of freedom depends upon serious consideration and action upon all that I have disclosed to you over the last 3 broadcasts. We ask God's blessings on each and every one of you, and we hold you dear in our heart because of the stand that you have taken for what is right. A copy of this communique will be distributed through the station chiefs of the intelligence service to any and all militias with which they are in contact. And that's a lot more than you can even dream of. I can assure you. What you have seen on television that supposedly constitutes the militias, ladies and gentlemen, is in reality, except for the militia of Michigan, is nowhere near the real militia or the numbers of the real militia. And you have as yet not seen any of the true and the best leadership of the militia that exists in the 50 states of this great nation. The militia does not operate out of Montana, out of a room where seven guys sit around and sell stuff to people across the nation and distribute disinformation by the bushel basketful. The real militia, for the most part, has been very silent and very effective and has been hard at work. And ladies and gentlemen, when I say hard at work, you have no concept of what I am speaking about. You're all going to have to spend some time deep in thought, and you're going to all have to begin to deal with the reality of the situation. Pop the bubbles. It's nice to have dreams. Don't get rid of them, for dreams inspire hope. But don't be fooled by your dreams. For if the dreams are to be realized, there is much suffering and much hard work and many hardships between now and the realization of those dreams.
My friend, no one not in my situation can appreciate my feeling of sadness at this parting. To this place and the kindness of these people, I owe everything. Here I have lived a quarter of a century and have passed from a young to an old man. Here my children have been born, and one is buried. I now leave, not knowing when or whether ever I may return, with a task before me greater than that which rested upon Washington.
Where is Mr. Lincoln when we need him? Does anybody know? I want to thank all of you for the cards and the letters and the faxes, wishing me a speedy recovery. And I want to assure you that the worst is over. My lungs are clear now. But I am not well. I am violating to the max the doctor's orders. And I'm sure if he knew that I were doing these broadcasts, he would be livid with rage. But I could no more not do these broadcasts than I could stop breathing. For those of you who have been researching this New World Order, the move toward world government, you know that most of the serious wealth of the world is dedicated to its completion. There are huge movements, well-financed, well-connected politically in every nation of the world, except for some third world countries that are promoting world government. There are just a few in opposition, mostly here in the United States of America. Canada has fallen. Great Britain has fallen. Australia has fallen. All of the member nations of the European Commonwealth have fallen. Russia may become in opposition. But if they do, it will not bode well for us, I can assure you. The good news, ladies and gentlemen, which I promised you last night, and I did give you some last night. You may not have known it was good news, but then you don't know how far down we've come. And if you did, I assure you that a lot of what you heard last night would have been considered good news. It has only taken 5% or less of any given population to affect real change, and in some cases, one single person has done it by the sheer effort of that person's will alone. You can see it throughout the history of the human race. Very seldom has more than 5% of any population ever contributed to any battle, any war, any revolution, any change, any superior good, or any superior bad. It is always a handful of men or women, good or bad, who are dedicated to affecting these things, who ultimately bring them about. Now, we're always opposed by those who want to stop it, who want to keep us confused, spinning around chasing our tails, and these things happen all the time. I have seen of late on the internet so much bullshit, absolute nonsense being passed around, and people just accept these things without any investigation. If somebody says it, it must be so. And I tell you now, unless you establish a routine of checking the facts on every single thing that comes into your hands, unless you do this, you're going to be fooled. You're going to find yourself spinning your tail. You're going to find yourself following false hopes and being led by carrots on the end of a stick until you are spinning helplessly in a cul-de-sac, out of the action, out of mind, ineffective, impotent. A lot of this comes from publications that for some reason or another you think you must trust. One of these publications is Soldier of Fortune magazine, which is a part of what we here at the intelligence service call Project Trojan Horse. It is the same organization from which Bo Gritz sprang. You see, if you've studied his spike program, and if you have seen the emblem of his spike program, you know that it also is an obelisk, very cleverly disguised as a dagger standing on its hilt. But nevertheless, an obelisk. And if you want to take it further and compare the emblem of the spike training program to the logo of the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas, you will see uncanny resemblance. Just as you do on the Christmas cards sent out by Pat Buchanan. Soldier of Fortune magazine is a disinformation and a name-gathering project to find those leaders who are adept at the science of war so that they can, when the time comes, be rounded up and taken out very quickly and very easily. It does you good to know these things. Another one is Media Bypass Magazine. And I'm going to give you just one example. I could take it issue by issue and rip it apart factually. Media Bypass Magazine is the one that interviewed Hoppe Heidelberg, who was the member of the Oklahoma grand jury. They then took the tape of the interview, twisted it, added blatant lies, things that he did not say, against his wishes and against his knowledge, published this mixture of truth and lies, and had the only juror on the Oklahoma grand jury who was really doing good things and pointing the jury in the right direction removed from that jury. And it was no accident. Recently, they ran an article called The Still Before the Storm by James Norman, the December 1995 issue of Media Bypass Magazine. The subject, U.S. government is about to fall. And that's the biggest crock of bullshit I've heard in so long. No matter what happens, the U.S. government will not fall. And I'm going to go through this and show you how easily you've been misled. I have seen at least 200 copies of this spread all over the internet, and where there are 200 copies that I can easily find, there must be 6,000 permeating almost every segment of the internet that there is. I'm going to skip the first paragraph because it's ambiguous baloney. The second paragraph starts, "But don't be lulled by the mainstream media, which has been hard at work poo-pooing these corruption charges and doubts about the official suicide of former White House Deputy Counsel Vincent W. Foster. This is just the eerie still before a storm. A hurricane lurks just over the horizon. Thunderheads are gathering and looming darker. Distant lightning can be seen but not yet heard. Straws are starting to blow in the wind. This government may be on the threshold of upheaval unprecedented since the Civil War. That is the cryptic message coming from multiple well-connected sources close to the intelligence community who say big things are quietly afoot that could fundamentally shuffle this country's political deck, and that may be just fine with Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, Republican, Georgia, whose sources say is quietly maneuvering to use this impending turmoil not just to re-engineer government, but to purge both political parties and effect what amounts to a bloodless coup d'etat. Swept away will be not only a raft of big-name Democratic senators and congressmen, but also many prominent old-line Republicans who have been feeding at the trough of corruption for years. It won't stop with politicians either. Prominent Wall Streeters, bureaucrats, military officers, and a slew of intelligence big shots are also said to be about to take a fall. Well over 300 names are said to be involved in the scandal. Apocalypse soon, predicts P.P. Willie. P.P. Willie is actually a dog, but it is also the pen name for a legendary World War II military intelligence veteran now living in St. Petersburg, Florida, who writes for a semi-weekly newspaper or newsletter called Washington Report, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I get. Mr. Norman says it is a pithy, irreverent capital gossip sheet with a penchant for pink paper, but it is read with considerable interest by its 5,000 subscribers, mostly in Washington and overseas, because Willie is known to be well-connected within the intelligence community. In the past, he has been uncannily accurate about goings-on in the spook world, and at times, there now are very troubled. And that is total baloney. I've been getting the Washington Report for years, ladies and gentlemen. They've very seldom been right. And the greatest penchant that newsletter has is for gossip, not facts. Willie's latest. Remember reading about Teapot Dome? How about Watergate? Then came Iran-Contra. Not bad, but the past Washington political scandals are itty-bitty compared to one that should surface next year about early spring. Listen to this. You don't suppose a few good guys in the CIA, FBI, IRS, and NSA, they are not many, but they exist, are fed up with tucking their tails and running in the face of White House pressure? What if they went public with true documented stories of espionage, murder, tax evasion, drug dealing, millions of dollars stashed in offshore bank accounts, and other big-time hanky-panky at the very tip-top of the Washington manure pile? Can anybody out there tell me what's new about any of that? It surfaces all the time, and nobody pays any attention to any of it, and nobody's going to pay any attention to anything that might emerge in this next year. The major media would not want to embarrass the liberal darlings, but what if a London newspaper and Pink Newsletter broke the story? What do you think the London Telegraph has been doing for the past 2 years, Mr. Nelson? Talk radio would then spread the word across the nation. The odds are this scandal will break. We hear it's a done deal. I'm telling you right now, it's total bullshit. Total, absolute, unadulterated bullshit. Listen to this. Whispers of such a spilling of the beans are being heard from multiple separate intelligence sources, specifically as reported in the August and October editions of Media Bypass. A small vigilante team, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this pack of lies. A small vigilante team of CIA computer hackers, dubbed the Fifth Column, has managed to penetrate Swiss and other foreign banks to quietly withdraw what is now an astounding $2.5 billion in illicit money from coded accounts they have identified as belonging to government figures. Total lie. And this isn't backed up with anything. No sources, no facts, not one single sentence in this entire article can be substantiated with any facts from any sources whatsoever. Starting in 1991, this five-man Fifth Column team has been using its own Cray supercomputer to break into foreign bank computers, download vast libraries of data, and trace this money to a wide range of illegal activities, from kickbacks on drug and arms deals to insider trading profits, software piracy, and the sale of state secrets. Oh yes, don't forget tax evasion. The money has been moved to a U.S. Treasury holding account at several Federal Reserve banks, another blatant lie, escrowed for use by the CIA, if and only if the CIA gets rid of its own bad apples. How could the government hide that much money, denying under Freedom of Information Act requests that it even exists? Very simply, because it doesn't, ladies and gentlemen. Just ask the National Reconnaissance Office, the government's spy satellite agency, which recently fessed up to having $1.7 billion stashed in secret accounts, and that is another lie, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't have $1.7 billion stashed anywhere. And if you don't know how the budget works with agencies and organizations, then it's easy to be scammed by articles like this. More important than the money, however, are the names. Who had these accounts? Are they still in office? Who has the list and the proof? Are they using this information to extort political blackmail? Will the bad guys be able to buy their way out of exposure? One thing is certain, whoever controls this phantom roster of corrupt politicians and money men has this government's private parts in a tightening vise. Well, now how could he write this article if he doesn't know the list of names, or who has the list of names? He says one man who may know is Charles S. Hayes, an irascible Kentucky computer salvage dealer and recently retired CIA contractor believed to be part of or closely involved with this Fifth Column. Now Mr. James Norman discloses that he doesn't even know that there is a Fifth Column or who they are. at the beginning of the article, he stated positively that there was one. Why do I have to go through articles and pick these things apart for you? Why can't you do it for yourselves? Why are there 200 copies that I can find easily within an hour floating through the internet, being believed by everybody who picks up on this crap? I can tell you very shortly that Media Bypass magazine is going to try, ladies and gentlemen, to connect an organization and I forgot the exact name of it, the sword to something in the arm of the covenant or some arm of the Lord. The sword to something in the arm of the Lord. They're going to try to connect that organization with the militias in America and the Oklahoma City bombing. The particular author of that article is one Larry Myers. And it is total bullshit, but it will appear in an upcoming issue of Media Bypass magazine. And I mean it, ladies and gentlemen, total, absolute bullshit, just like this article that I'm revealing to you. Just like the hatchet job they did on Hoppy Heidelberg to get him removed from the Oklahoma grand jury. The only juror who was doing his job. And I want to talk to you about something else. I'm not going to go through this whole article. There's about 4 pages left of it. And it's all just like what I've already given you. Total bullshit. None of it substantiated. None of it documented. None of it true. And now I'm going to talk to you about something else that many of you have fallen for. I can't for the life of me figure out what you have done with your brains. Let me give you a for instance. Close your eyes and imagine this. You are a member of the armed forces of the United States of America, an active duty member. However, all of a sudden, you decide that you don't like where this country is headed, and you're going to side with the militia and the patriot movements, and you're going to publish a newsletter leaking information from the military to the militias and to the public. So you publish this newsletter, and you call it The Resister. And you don't even try to hide your identity. You state that you are active duty members of the Special Forces of the United States Army. And you publish a P.O. box where people can write and send money to subscribe to your newsletter. Now, I want all of you, everyone listening, tell me, how long will it take before you're caught? How long? I'll tell you right now, from what I know, having served in the Office of Naval Intelligence and knowing many good investigators, many of which are members of the intelligence service, good police detectives, people who are part of the CID, Criminal Investigative Division of the Department of the Army, NIS, Naval Investigative Service of the United States Navy. I can tell you with complete 100% assurance, no problem whatsoever. That these people would have been found, identified, and arrested, ladies and gentlemen, put behind bars within 3 days. 3 days, that's all it would take. Now you tell me, why has that not happened? If the military is really interested in identifying these people and stopping them, why has that not happened? How can you send $20 to a P.O. box and subscribe to their clandestine underground resistor newsletter? Yet the greatest investigative organizations with the most money and the best technology in the world can't find these people. And what do they claim to be? Exactly what Colonel Brown, who founded Soldier of Fortune, was. Exactly what Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz was. Delta Force, United States Army Special Forces, Project Trojan Horse. All mixed up in dirty dealings. Money for arms, arms for drugs, drugs to corrupt the American youth, and euphemistically enslave large populations of disadvantaged people in this country and keep them that way. Some of the same people who are involved in those things turn up in, of all places, the militia of man, Montana, Bob Fletcher, intimately involved with Iran-Contra. Incidentally, one of the sources of most of the disinformation that flies through the Patriot fax networks and through the so-called militias. Incidentally, they take credit for forming most of the militias across the country, and that is a lie. They have helped to form some. And why would they do that when there really is no militia of Montana? I can tell you with no hesitation and no doubt whatsoever, because we have performed a complete investigation, that the militia of Montana consists of about 5 to 7 guys and a room full of material that they sell to all the idiots across this country. And these aren't the only ones. They're just the ones I'm bringing to light. There are many more. You had better read Hegel. You had better understand that somebody wants some radical group in this country to do something stupid so as to cause a reason for all patriots and all militias to be declared outlaw, and to have it backed by the consensus of opinion of the majority of the sheeple of the nation so that they can all be rounded up and imprisoned. There are not hundreds of thousands of Russian military equipment in this country. There is Russian military equipment in this country at various places. But not even 2% of what the militia of Montana is telling you. If they see a train load of 10 tanks, it becomes 500. If they see a train load of 100 tanks, it becomes 5,000. And you just suck it up all across this country. Just suck it up. I'm amazed and disheartened. But thank God it is only the visible, foolish segments of what is known as the militia that falls for this crap. And I hope you have the good sense to clean your act up before it's all turned against you. We are going into world government. Yes, if the time comes and they need to suppress the resistance of the American people, they will bring in foreign troops. Of that, there is no question. But the foreign troops are not here except in very small numbers and for training purposes, and that is a fact. There is foreign military equipment here, and in some areas in large numbers, but nowhere even in your wildest dreams approaching what is flying through the Patriot networks and from the militia of Montana and from other sources of disinformation. For those of you who read Soldier of Fortune, you will never see or hear anything in that magazine favorable to the freedom fighters of this country. For those of you who read Media Bypass, if you believe these articles without checking and documenting whether or not every single fact that they claim to be fact is indeed fact and not disinformation, you will find yourselves chasing your tail for the rest of your life. And I can't wait to see their upcoming article written by Mr. Larry Myers condemning the militias for the Oklahoma City bombing, connecting them to this racist, ridiculous, fundamental religious group when there is no connection. Militias are not religious. Militias are not Christian. Militias are military organizations pledged to enforce the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, and repel invasion. And if the militia group you belong to is anything other than what I have just stated, get yourself out of it and away from it. Good night, and God bless you all. Thank you.